handout out of the back table there. Kind of an oddball, kind of a one-off thing. We're doing a holiday special here. And it is something of an introduction about something that's going to take place in a more methodical and protracted way on our Thursday nights for prayers. And so we're just going to kind of introduce it here today because it is our 4th of July weekend. And I do find this to be, it's never out of vogue, never out of importance, but an increasingly important doctrine for us to be aware of. And that is the doctrine of the lesser magistrates, which was just so incredibly instrumental in the founding of our nation. And for the challenges that we have today. So, as we have a handout, we'll be going through that. And we look forward to not only today's presentation on that, but some of the other ones coming in the future. I do believe that next Sunday we'll be back with our N.T. Wright book and continuing his biography of Paul. Let's stand together, and we're going to sing Psalm number 80B. 80B. Each other. We pray for this Lord's Day, O Lord, that your name would be made great. great amongst this, your people. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Kenneth. Yeah, you should have a handout. You're going to need that. And again, this is kind of a one-shot holiday special here for the 4th of July. We will be returning to N.T. Wright and his biography on Paul. And what I want to do is provide an introduction to a work that I hope to be following up on in our Thursday prayer meetings. We only have 2 weeks left of Terry's reflection, and then following that, we'll be taking some reflections from this book here. And the name of what we're going to talk about here today, so very important in the founding of our country and really all through history, and even more so important for us to be aware of today, is this little book here, and The Doctrine of the Lesser Magistrates. Raise your hand if you've ever heard of The Doctrine of the Lesser Magistrates, right? Maybe a couple of us here have, right? And this is written by a pastor. This book is 5 or 6 or 7 years old by now. And, he has this one little line here. This is a Roman emperor. He writes, "Use this sword against my enemies if I give righteous commands. But if I give unrighteous commands, use it against me." There's a good godly leader, right? There's a good godly leader. "Use this sword against enemies if I give righteous commands. Use it against me if I give unrighteous commands." So that's the nature of the kind of stuff that we're going to be looking at here. What I have in your handout is really the very beginning and the very end of this book. We have an introduction and we have a summary. And just to kind of, let's turn to the very back here, just to kind of bring it up to date where we're going with this. Because I announced last week that we'd be talking about this. And this idea of lesser magistrates means that God has put people in what we call middle management, I guess we could say that. They're in these positions. They're not at the top of the power structure, and they're certainly not at the bottom. But this is true in every institution. It's true in the family. It's true in the church, right? It's true in civil government as well. And there is no such thing as absolute authority other than the absolute authority that God has. And so every authority is delegated authority, and therefore every authority is conditional authority. And so if you're a son and your father asks you to do unrighteous things, it's your duty to disobey him, right? If you are a priest in the Roman Catholic faith, and the Pope tells you to do something unrighteous, it's your duty to disobey him, right? Everybody has delegated authority, and everybody is ultimately answerable to God. And so this lesser magistrate is, what do we do when the powers above ask us, sometimes require us, to do unrighteous things? And so on the very back of the page here, I have a couple of notations, because for me, this was inspired by really up-to-date local events. You remember some weeks ago that Emperor Cuomo had the legislature pass a new law called the Green Light Bill, which requires, okay, the counties to issue driver's licenses to illegal aliens. You all know that, right? So the county clerks are required, because the legislature passed that bill, to issue driver's licenses to illegal aliens. And there has been an uprising amongst many county clerks against this. And probably the person more instrumental than anybody else is right here in Rensselaer County. His name is Paul Merola. He's down at the bottom here, and what he has done and what other county clerks are doing is refusing to do this. If someone can't prove that they're a citizen and that they're lawfully here, he is denying them a license, a driver's license in New York State. Now, this is something to be commended. This is something for us to applaud, and he is acting as a lesser magistrate, standing in the gap, interposing himself between we who would be victims of this unrighteous law. And he's not the first person to do that, but he has stepped in, and he continues to do this. And by the way, I've done this already. It's very easy. You can go right online, go to Rensselaer County. You can contact them. You can type in, you know, your name, and you can tell them that I want to affirm what our county clerk is doing, what Frank Marola is doing. And they'll get right back to you and say, we received your message. We thank you for it. I would encourage you all to do that. And as we go through the lesson today, you'll see why it's important. Not that our lesser magistrates need our approval or our affirmation, our attaboy for doing that. They have the right to do that. They have the duty before God to do that. But it's always an encouragement when somebody does the right thing to be approving of that. I've done that personally. I would encourage you guys to do that. But it reminded me of some other cases as well. It reminded me of some years ago when the Supreme Court of the land, right, decided that the law of the land is going to be that persons of any sexuality can be married to each other, right? Particularly homosexual marriage, gay marriage is now a constitutional right in the United States. And perhaps you remember the name of Kim Davis, who was a county clerk in Kentucky, taking over the Coles. Now, was she perfect, and was there a whole background there that made that? I wish she did. There was somebody different than her. But she made herself, she did the right thing in denying marriage licenses to those who are of the same sex. She interposed. She stood in the gap. She was an example of a lesser magistrate. She did the same thing some years ago. And what I would submit to you is here we are on the 4th of July, is that our founding fathers were lesser magistrates. They were county executives. They were sheriffs. They were governors. But they were ultimately under the authority of King George. They defied what King George, when they felt that King George had overstepped his God-given authority, they were lesser magistrates that really were the leaders in this thing that we call the American Revolution. So let's go back to the beginning here and kind of introduce this, but I just want to give you those kind of bullet points to see how does this fit into anything that might affect me. So, here we go. In the course of human history, the abuse of authority by men through the arm of the state is not uncommon. Western civilization has safeguards against this. However, a citizen free must remain vigilant, and understand both the purpose and the limitations of the state. We ought to understand that the state is not all powerful. It serves God. Right? If a citizenry doesn't know these limitations, we're going to have all sorts of trouble. He quotes Huxley in his book Brave New World, and Huxley writes this, a really effective totalitarian state would be one in which the all-powerful executive of political bosses and their army of managers control a population of slaves who do not have to be coerced because they love their servitude. And we could read the prophets of the Old Testament. My people love it so, right? When unrighteousness was ruling the day. And so to have people who willingly give over their rights to these worldly powers that be, that's top shelf for them. It's not good for us. Unknowingly, Americans have accepted the role of Huxley's servant-minded people for decades. This is due in part to the fact that people love comfort, tend to avoid conflict. However, the other part of the equation is that people have lost the yardstick by which they should measure the limits of government. As a consequence, we in America become a slave-like people with the federal government acting more like master than a servant providing justice for all. We're turning the page. He says, if you go to Washington, D.C., I haven't been there in a while, but from this is 6 years ago, he says it's pretty heavily fortified, like a fortress. And he quotes from some ancient literature here that, what harm have we done that we need to have so many guns surrounding us? Now, granted, in here in America, it's not as bad, I'm told, as places overseas where everybody has a machine gun at every quarter, on every corner to keep people in line. But there's an increasing military presence and you could say, well, that's about Paris. Well, maybe that's part of it. Fast forward here to the third paragraph. In the past, pulpits in our nation have instructed people in the purpose, functions, and limitations of the state. Many pastors preached every year, ready? Remember those election day sermons? These sermons were routinely preached through the first 100 years of our nation. Clergymen understood, taught the congregation that God's word addressed all matters of life. That means it includes talking about what the government can and can't do. Today, however, most pulpits are silent about God's word when it comes to civil government. In fact, most teach unlimited obedience to the state, as though there were no limits to the state's rule. By default, they teach that whatever the civil government rules legislatively is therefore the will of God. You can read the rest of that for your bit, not top of the next page. The authority of the state does have limits, as everyone in leadership has limits. America's present-day pulpits need to repent of their idolatrous views regarding the state. And let's skip to the next paragraph. The church pulpits are the historical means whereby the people are instructed from a theological foundation in the purpose, functions, and here we go again, limitations of the state. When a citizenry views the state is theologically driven, the state can no longer get away with doing whatever tickles its fancy. This is because an informed citizenry, one of the recognized transcendent laws, is vigilant, will not tolerate that abuse or tyranny. 1 Corinthians 7:23, don't become slaves of men. That's a charge given to us. But human nature. Men tend to want to be ruled and cared for rather than take on the responsibility and cherish liberty. And by the way, the more we would just follow God, right? Be content, be generous, we wouldn't need those things from another source, right? Family, your fathers would take care of their own, the churches. Remember, I mean, even the income tax is only about 100 years old. How did people exist before that? They did. But instead of taking responsibility for our cherished liberties, we kind of want this nanny state. Because human nature, tyranny from time to time raises its ugly head, because human nature, men will endure a long train of abuses and usurpations. And if you remember, the Declaration of Independence, you know, what they said was, here's a list of these long train of abuses from King George, and they spell them out. That's what the Declaration of Independence. When in the course of human events we have to separate because of this stuff. He writes, however, men will long endure a long train of abuses and usurpations only to a certain point. And that's where our founders drew a line. 1775, which was when they really cranked things up. When the civil government continues to assault men's rights and liberties through unconstitutional, unjust, immoral laws, policies, bureaucratic decrees, honorable men will eventually weary of it and begin to take a stand. These men who do begin to stand, however, want to be assured that their efforts are legitimate and proper. That's a good and godly response. Am I doing the right thing when I say no to my boss? It's an important matter. Thankfully, America's founders established 3 well-known boxes by which we can preserve liberty and resist tyranny. The ballot box, the jury box, and the cartridge box. Ooh. Ballot box means who you vote for. Jury box is the courts, right? And I think you all know what the cartridge box is. Anybody here not know what the cartridge box is? Good. Okay, returning to page here, he explains about the ballot box and the jury box. Top of the page, the cartridge box refers to an armed citizenry. American fathers knew that an armed citizenry not only helps repel an invading foreign force, but also acts as a check against tyranny from our own government. And now we're switching gears back again to the lesser magistrate. You got the 3 boxes, you got the ballot box, you got the jury box, you got the cartridge box. But a lesser known tool, which the founders themselves employed, is the doctrine of the lesser magistrates. The lesser magistrate doctrine provides the best means to reign in a higher authority that has spurned its limitations. The doctrine of the lesser magistrates is rooted in Scripture. In the weeks that are ahead, we'll go through, we'll see examples of that. Found throughout history of mankind, the doctrine offers great hope to a nature of people who've grown under the yoke of tyrannical behavior by the state. This book assumes that the reader already understands the dire condition of America. I mean, if you think that, you know, liberty is just abounding and breaking out all over, then this is probably not the book for you to read. There have been countless books written over the last 20 years detailing America's demise and its march towards tyranny via the federal government. This book spends a little bit of time, decrying darkness. Rather, this book is meant to bring hope. It's a primer, so to speak. It places within the hands of those concerned about our nation a blueprint and means by which we can take a stand against the federal government that has trampled our constitutions. Americans are now nearly completely a conquered people. We do not have to sit by hand-wringing and passively submitting to our own destruction. However, the doctrine of lesser magistrates provides a legitimate and proper means. Okay? If the government's being lawless, we're no better if we decide to be lawless. But a legitimate and proper means to restore order and resist tyranny. History has proven that peasant results, that's when, you know, you just really get the pitchforks out, are easily put down by the state. The lesser magistrate doctrine is effective in quelling abuses by a higher authority and does so often without the shedding of blood. Wouldn't that be great? This book is not, nor is it intended to be comprehensive, exhaustive. It's a primer. It's a starting place, and there's the references there to Pastor Matt up there in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So that's kind of like his introduction. And now, if you'll notice on the bottom of the next page, we're on page 105, right? And this is a really tiny book. Where did I put it here? So now I'm just going to go through a summary, okay? We're going to skip all the details, but each one of these paragraphs in the next four pages basically are the chapters that we will be looking at. A summary of the doctrine of the lesser magistrates. The doctrine of the lesser magistrates. A lesser magistrate declares that when a superior or a higher civil authority makes an unjust or immoral laws or decrees, the lesser or lower ranking civil authority has both a right and a duty to refuse to obey that superior authority. If necessary, the lesser authorities even have the right and obligation to actively resist the superior authority. Okay. And again, this is no different than if your dad, okay, you're 11 years old and your dad tells you, you know, to go steal money from the lady next door. It's your duty as a son before God to say no, Dad, or at least not do it, even if you don't go to him and say no. And so you got all these folks in middle management, county clerks in particular. Again, that's why I bring this down to Rensselaer County and say, you know, let's applaud these guys. They're doing the right thing. Saying no to those higher authorities, even if the higher authority wants to view himself as, you know, the highest authority in the state of New York. Where is this power rooted? It's rooted in this concept of interposition. Interposition is that calling of God which causes us to step into the gap. That language comes right out of the Bible in the book of Ezekiel. Willingly placing oneself between the oppressor and his intended victim. By the way, what was Corrie Ten Boom doing? She was doing this, right? The Nazi says, round up the Jews. What does she do? She says, thanks but no thanks. I'm not going to do that. Was she breaking the law? Yeah. Was she breaking God's law? She was fulfilling God's law. Placing oneself between the oppressor and his intended victim. Interposition takes place when someone or some group interposes or positions themselves between an oppressor and the intended victims. When it comes to the interposition of the lesser magistrate, he interposes for the people, placing himself between the unjust laws or decrees of the higher authority and the people. He also acts in defense of the rule of law. The interposition of the lesser magistrates abates the just judgment of God on nations that have impugned his law. And by the way, one of the things that we completely forget about in our land is that our founding fathers understood this. They wanted to have righteous laws because they knew that if they didn't have righteous laws, they were afraid of what God was going to do to them as a nation. And so they knew that when they interposed against unrighteous laws, they were saving themselves from the wrath of God. And so I bring up again, the Supreme Court decides same-sex marriage is okay. The Kim Davises of the world don't want God judging America. Another chapter, a short little chapter in this book is all authority is delegated authority. That's just a good reminder. And again, I have notation that this is true in the civil realm. It's true in the church. Okay? It's true in a family. I gave you the examples of a son and a father. I could easily give more examples in the church where a church bigwig decides we're going to do something and the people who are lesser magistrates need to stand up and say no. Lesser magistrate doctrine reminds the higher authority that their authority is limited. No one holds authority, really in any sphere, with autonomy. The authority they possess is delegated to them by God. Hence, all those in position of authority and accountability are accountable to God and are to govern according to his rule. A tyrant is defined as one who contravenes or impugns the law of God, assaults the person, property, or liberty of the citizens, or violates the Constitution. The primary duty of lesser magistrates is threefold. They are, one, to oppose and resist laws or edicts from the higher authority that contravene the law or word of God. Second, they are to protect the person, liberty, and property of those who reside within their jurisdiction. Okay, Frank Merola has no say about what Albany County does or Columbia County does in terms of issuing driver's licenses to illegals. He has jurisdiction over Rensselaer County. It's kind of like, you know, not on my watch, not now, not here, that kind of language. Second, they are to protect the person, okay, same jurisdiction. In any unjust or immoral actions by the higher authority. Third, they are not to implement any laws or decrees made by a higher authority that violate the Constitution and, if necessary, resist them. God's law is the objective standard. This is really important because how can two walk together except they be agreed? And if America doesn't have the same God, you're going to run into trouble even with this. Because we're going to see a little bit later on, there are going to be people who have a different God, and they are acting as lesser magistrates. And whereas our national ethic and law might be righteous, they are demanding unrighteous laws and using this same lesser magistrate as their defense because they're serving their God. God's law is the objective standard. The law of God is the objective standard so that men know when governments are making unjust and immoral law. The disobedience of the lesser magistrate is not subjective. This is not his own whim here. He is only justified in defying the higher authority when the higher authority clearly contravenes the law of God and makes law which is clearly an attack upon the person, liberty, or property of the people in the lesser magistrate's jurisdiction. There's that jurisdiction again. Or makes law or policy which violates the Constitution. And so my little note to you there is, just remember, theocracy and theonomy really are inescapable. Every law has a view to whoever the God of that society holds. The rule of law. The rule of law simply states that the law is king. All are subject to the laws of the land, both king and commoner. Both government officials and citizens, and the law is equitable to all. They formalize God's moral law along with biblical principles of authority and government under what is known as the rule of law. This became known as the rule of law in Western civilization for the last 1,500 years. Problem. A rule of law. we will be presented with an opportunity. It's a good thing when godly lesser magistrates will need to stand in the gap. They will need to interpose. So he's saying here, you know, get in the saddle, pull up your boots, because this is what we have ahead of us. We will need to interpose for the sake of the rule of law, for the sake of the people they represent, and defy bad laws. Don't miss this. They will be accused by the tyrant higher authority of anarchy and destroying the rule of law. But in reality, they are the ones who are defending it. Kim Davis was defending her jurisdiction, as is Frank Morola. A little bit of background on how this really came out of the church. Again, the culture follows the church, as the pastors of Magdeburg. The doctrine of the lesser magistrate was first formalized by the Lutherans of all people, right? And what an ironic, horrific twist of history that the Lutherans, in large part, failed under Hitler. But the Luther Reformed guys in 1550 were the ones who first established this. Other reformers built upon the doctrine. John Knox was famous for this. Last sentence there in that little paragraph, Knox stated disdainfully, "For now the common song among all men is, we must obey our kings, be they good or be they bad, for God has so commanded." And so Knox is not recommending that. He's dissing that. Here's where the coin is on the other foot as well, okay? If you have a culture with other gods, you have increasingly bad guys who are trying to serve their gods. And there's a chapter in here about this same idea here. Let me just look at this for just 1 second here. Okay, in February of 2004, America heard tell of a bold lesser magistrate who was willing to oppose a higher magistrate. The only problem was he was wicked. Gavin Newsom, the mayor of San Francisco, decided to defy state law, and he began issuing state marriage licenses to homosexuals. See, he was taking up this mantle of a lesser magistrate. The law of the land was a gay person could not be married. But he was in a position where he said, you know what? Because his God is different than our God. He decided that he needed to stand in the gap for these victims. You see how it works both ways? It can work both ways. And this is why the answer to these problems is the Christian faith. Right? And Jesus Christ being the king of the country. Lesser magistrates can do the same thing. They interpose and rein in the lesser magistrate. When tyranny presents itself, almost never do so. Never do all of the lesser magistrates stand and resist, whether the oppression and the tyranny comes from a higher magistrate or from lesser magistrates. We'll get into that when we get to that chapter. The tyrannical higher magistrate. The higher authority likes to be obeyed, right? Mario Cuomo doesn't want some county clerk telling him he's not going to issue the drivers. Not Mario. Andrew Cuomo. How many times have I said Mario Cuomo today? How many times?
Just that one.
Just that one. Thank you. I can see the look on Jared's face back there. You know, Dad's gone into senile mode again, right? He's reliving his youth. Andrew Cuomo. Sorry about that. The higher authority likes to be obeyed. The lesser magistrates and the people must understand that when they interpose against unjust laws, there will be a fight. Their reputation will be maligned. They could end up in prison or abused. What are the signers of our declaration, right? We pledge our lives, our fortune, and our sacred honor, many of whom lost quite a bit. It was John Hancock who said, burn Boston, burn, if that's what the cost is going to be for the liberation of my people. Here's a guy who owned half the property in Boston.
he said, I don't care if it all burns down. This is worth it. They could end up imprisoned, abused in some fashion by a higher authority. A governing official needs to understand that they act not for glory or for political ambition. Rather, they do so because it is the right thing to do in the sight of God. What does this mean for us? These last two segments give us some action points for you and me. The role of the people in applying the lesser magistrate doctrine is to remonstrate, that's get behind, okay, before the lesser magistrate and rally behind him when he takes a stand. And that's why I said, you know, I already contacted Frank Merola down there, and, you know, it's easy to do, and these people need to be supported. Not because they need our support to do it. By virtue of their position, they are authorized to do this. They're duty bound to do this by virtue of their position. But you know what? It's really nice when you have somebody behind you supporting you. When they take a stand. The lesser magistrates often will not act until the people plead their case and the magistrates are assured of their support. They're humans too. They don't want to be left out on a limb all alone. The future. When will the lesser magistrate stand in defiance of federal tyranny? The question that remains to be seen in our day is, will the lesser magistrates merely squabble with the federal government or higher authority over matters of dispute? Or will they stand resolute in opposition to their abuse of power? Here's a great line. Lesser magistrates today need to understand that state governments were not intended to be mere conduits for enacting federal public policy. They are not to be mere implementation centers through which the federal government dispenses its unjust policies, decisions, and laws. I mean, we're seeing this. I mean, the fact that these states are rising up in opposition about what's the law of the land, Roe, right? These people are acting on this lesser magistrate position. Are they going to go to court for it? Yeah. Will they end up taking some personal punishment from this? Likely. The interposition of the lesser magistrate is absolutely critical for the preservation of liberty. The hour for them to stand is upon us. And, you know, this was written 7 years ago, and I think I've seen some of this happen in a good way. We see it happen in an evil way, too, but we see it happen in a good way. And I just thought that this would be a good refresher for us as we celebrate the lesser magistrates who signed the Declaration of Independence and those guys who wrote the Constitution. That's what was motivating them. We got a couple of minutes for questions or comments, disagreements, criticism. Well, Pastor Jim says doesn't have to go, you know. You can be lesser magistrates. Joe, is your hand up or no? Or are you just stretching here?
That last sentence there.
Yeah.
That book you let me borrow was by Gary DeMarco. He has this chapter in there about the lesser magistrate. And he said in 1933, when Hitler came to power in Germany, the first thing he did was get rid of the lesser magistrate. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That last sentence.
Mm-hmm. They usually are.
Yeah.
Well, usually when you have those kind of things, like whether it's the Russian Revolution, they take, you know, the local leaders, they take the priests and they take the intellectuals out. They dig a ditch first and tie them up and drop them into the ditch. Same rationale. Chuck.
This morning I was watching on YouTube pre-4th of July presentation by historian David Lawrence. about, as he usually does, about the founding fathers.
Yeah.
Going into details about their attitude toward the government and their attitude toward God and why the Bible and Christianity is so fundamental to our founding. And it reminded me that that's, when you listen to his presentation, you understand why history isn't being taught anymore, because they don't want that to be known. And it's necessary for doctrines like the lesser magistrate and just war theory, which has also been abandoned in our war colleges.
Mm-hmm.
All these essential doctrines are being done away with, they're being buried. There's a reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we don't know where we came from, we can be led anywhere.
Mm-hmm. And it really, again, we have to embrace the Christian faith, because think about being that other side of the coin there, where you have the law of the land, which is a good and righteous and Christian government, and you have someone like, Mr. Nevin there in San Francisco, and he just goes rogue and decides to use his power as a lesser magistrate because he's trying to do what he thinks is the right thing and save the victims that he views are under him. The higher magistrates and the ones below him and the other equal lesser magistrates across the country should be putting pressure on him to don't do that. And in a less sinful world, you can avert bloodshed when this functions properly. And that's always a good goal. Anybody else? Father God in heaven, we thank you as we come to this closing out here, a celebration for our country here. And Lord, we thank you for the liberties that come from you. We thank you, it's your day today. We turn our attention now to you. And Lord, you're the giver of these liberties. You're the giver of all these laws. And Lord, we ask that you would help us to be your people. Help us, Lord, those of us who can function as lesser magistrates. We pray that you would give us strength. And Lord, for all of us, that we would be supportive of those lesser magistrates who do stand in the gap for us. We pray for them, and we ask that you would help us, Lord, to be encouraged to support them. Thank you for each other this day, and Lord, as we come before you now in worship time, Lord, help us with clean hands and pure hearts to give our praise.